Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
I've been sharing some things with you in the recent Sundays about the person of the Holy Spirit. Because there are really three personalities. I like to use the word personalities, or three different ways God expresses himself, three in one. We know quite a lot about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, because he's our way into the family. Jesus said, if we come to know the Lord Jesus, we will come to know the Heavenly Father, that they are inseparable in character and nature and mission. But then he said, when Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He's going to be a comforter, a teacher, a guide, a helper, so many things. And you're going to be better off because he said he would send the Holy Spirit. Well, I find today that there's maybe less teaching in the body of Christ about the person of the Holy Spirit than ever in my lifetime. So I'm determined that we know who our helper is, that we know who God with us is, that we get to know him because he is the person of God that we're going to come to know the most, because he's the one in the earth. We know the Heavenly Father's in heaven. When people talk about Jesus being with us, they're really talking about his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches absolutely that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heavenly places. See, we know he's there, but he is one with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is here with us to help us fulfill the plan of God, to help us supernaturally have the kind of help that fills in the gaps wherever we have gaps, that helps us grow in our Christian character as individuals, but also helps us to minister as the Lord Jesus even before we are very much like him. There's an amazing thing that happens. I know that many times people think, well, a person's got to really get their act together before God will use them. When really the reverse is true. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will put us in action and we will learn to get our act together. Because he's using us. And there will be a supernatural reason, a God-fulfilling reason that we step out to obey the Lord, that he will begin to work within to help us grow personally to fulfill his purpose. So whenever you're feeling like you don't measure up, you just need the Holy Spirit to help you. Because he's the one that always makes the difference. I say this, and it bears repeating. The Lord is more interested in making something out of what you are not than just working with what you think you are. He loves to fill in the gaps. Why? If we have a gap that we are not, it means it's all him when he fills the gap. And we learn to cooperate with his nature, and it changes our character. And we find out we're stronger than we thought we were because greater is he that is in me. Not greater am I because I've learned something. Greater is he who is in me. He wants us to always need him. When we think we don't, we're in trouble. Because he wants to be needed. He expects to be needed. Sharing first from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked last week about the Holy Spirit being the supernatural intelligence of God. That he comes in with information God has for us, information God has about us, information God knows about the current situation, and the wisdom of God of what God knows about your future. He knows your every thought before you think it. He knows your every action before you do it. And his intelligence helps both our thought life and the actions line up more with God's perfect will. His will for you is that you overcome all the wicked works of the enemy and that you succeed wildly in this life according to the plan of God, and that the blessings of God chase you down because you're doing the will of God. Now, if we're not careful, we got to get our eyes on something other than the prize God has in mind. The Holy Spirit's first interest in you is not to help you make it through, but to help you be a supernatural expression of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And the more you rely on Him to do that, you won't just make it through. You'll make it through with victory. Amen. And you'll find that you do better than you thought you could do. You find that God will do things quicker than you expected. You find that He will iron out glitches that you otherwise might have experienced. And while all that's happening, He's enriching you and making you more like Jesus. That's the supernatural intelligence that God has in the person of the Holy Spirit. So you see, we want to know Him. Think of the Holy Spirit as your teacher living on the inside who knows everything about everything. And you can call on Him anytime you want to about anything. And He will tell you what you need to know. He will tell you what you need to know according to the will of God. When a believer has trouble hearing from the Lord or having an inward impression or seeming to know what to do, usually it's because we are getting out of bounds from the will of God and we need to center back on Him and say, Lord, am I in Your will? And we become tender. Because what God is doing is looking ahead to your future in heaven, and He considers that more than your life here. Our life here is meant to set us up for our role in heaven. Our life here is an opportunity for us to bring a little bit of heaven into the earth by obeying Him now, by being His steward of spiritual things in heavenly places. In other words, you're supposed to call a little bit of heaven down into earth, maybe a lot of heaven down into earth, through somehow God using you in a way that you won't know to do on your own. Now, that is an awesome, scary kind of responsibility. And we recognize, I better have a helper. I'm sure glad He's supernatural. And He's got to get in there in between all the busy activities of my life, because I tend to forget who's first sometimes. And it helps us, what Sundays are designed to do or Sabbath is designed to do, is help us get our life back together and put it back in right order and right perspective. And at least on Sunday we can say, God, I'm starting out right. I'm putting You first. And then we trust Him to invade our life more and more by our invitation to help us establish a heavenly kind of order. Most people have a hectic enough life that sounds unbelievable that God could give us an ordered life that is more like heaven than hell. If you're experiencing a daily life that has a lot of fire in it, you want to get closer to the Holy Spirit. Say, help me reorder my life and my priorities. He knows the heart of God, and when we do the heart of God, we're lining up with our Heavenly Father. We tend to enter into greater blessing. So it's in our greatest interest of anything that we can learn in the earth is how to be a partner with the Holy Spirit of God who's here with us now and who knows the intricacies of your personality and your life and your upbringing, everything about you. And He knows that all of that is for this world. He knows the heart of God in you and what's to come of life. Sometimes those things are at war and at odds. Now, we've talked about the Holy Spirit as intelligence. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, and this is a summary of verse 12 through 27, for as a body is one and has many members or many parts, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, God puts people together, and He calls it the body of Christ. And the body of Christ means His body of anointing. It means if God's going to do anything in the earth supernatural, it is through a group of people He brings together. Not through just one person here and there, or, you know, sometimes we think, well, this one's anointed and that one's anointed. No, the anointing is for the whole body together. And if only a few people in a group are the ones being used of God, then there's not a manifestation of anointing and power like God has planned. Every person is a part of God's supernatural intelligence in the earth to bring wisdom into His church and out into the world. Supernatural ability. Every person. We learned that last week. Verse 27, says specifically, now you are the body of Christ and you are members in particular. You are a body part, whether you know it or not. When people don't engage, I like to think of it this way. They're still a part of the body of Christ designed to fit in, but they've chosen to be a jarred, pickled specimen on the shelf. Looked at, understand what it's for, what it's to do, but they don't become a part of the body. We have to choose to be a part. It is our responsibility to make that choice. Pastors and leaders can nurture and encourage, but our job is not to discipline anybody into doing what they're supposed to or make them do anything, because faith has to be involved. For you to be a part of the body of Christ, you have to decide, I'm going to do this because the scripture says I'm supposed to, and God's going to help me learn how. And then he helps us learn how. And we discover what we are here for. He says in verse 31, and I'm summarizing some things about the Holy Spirit. He says, covet earnestly as the body of Christ, or as the church. This is a letter written to a church. He's saying, covet earnestly the best gifts as a church. Why? If we covet earnestly the best gifts, God moves to distribute them among our church. See, it doesn't matter how many people are present. It matters how many people are coveting earnestly the best gifts. I have a belief about our church. We can have as much of the best as we want if we will covet earnestly the best gifts. Because everything God's going to do in the New Testament church comes from through gifts. The Holy Spirit cooperating with man, or you could think of it this way, people cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Everything God's going to do that matters to him happens through his people, the church. And the group of people in the church that decide, I am a part of this. I am going to connect. I am going to do something. I am going to fit in a function in this body that helps Jesus. You know, think of Jesus, body without a liver function. He'd be sickly all the time. He wouldn't look right to look at. He'd turn yellow. He would not have the power and ability to do what he's supposed to. Imagine if Jesus, the head of the church, didn't have a neck on the body and the head was sitting out here on an arm because somebody wasn't the neck. Imagine how weird the church becomes when people are not fulfilling their part of the body. No wonder the world would look sometimes and say, what is up with that? It doesn't seem to make sense. Well, you have three body parts, put them together and call it the body of Christ. People are going to look at that saying, it's what? So you see, the more complete we are, the more we reveal who Jesus is. The more we have the connections. See, the body doesn't get it together on its own. We connect to Jesus, the head. And when we're all connected to Jesus, the head, he gets to do what he wants to do. Instead of the hand doing what the hand wants and the foot, you know, the hand flapping and the foot kicking and the mouth jawing. He gets to coordinate all of that because he's connected. And the thought center, the mission center of God gets to direct the body, fitly joined together. Now, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts in the church, and I will show unto you a more excellent way. In other words, a church that gets more excellent is because people are coveting the gifts and connecting together to serve God supernaturally. What does that mean? That means everybody comes together to become more like Jesus, and we don't hold fast to who we are personally and say, I could never do that. I will not do this. Instead, we say, Jesus, where's my place in this? In any endeavor that the church does, our question should be, Lord, what is my role in this? Because we're a part of his body. If I'm going to cook dinner at my house through this body, my whole body gets in motion. My feet have to carry me back and forth between the refrigerator, the kitchen sink, the microwave, the stove, and whatever else I'm doing, the mixing bowl. And my feet don't have to think about what they're supposed to do. My head is telling my feet and my hands, and instead of the feet running, jumping off the body and running to the refrigerator, and then the hand jumping out and pulling the, you know, it all goes together. Amen. It all moves together. Yet sometimes in the church world, people think, well, I'm not a part of that. No, you're a part of everything God wants to do. That's his plan. You might be a latent part. I don't know that my liver is thinking about cooking dinner. It's probably thinking about don't eat too much of this or that, so I don't overload the liver if it had the ability to think. But it's cooperating because it's there to do its function, even though it doesn't look like it's doing anything. It's doing something because it's there. See, sometimes we underestimate the power in being a part, even when we don't see what our role is. Sometimes we measure our value by how much activity we see we're doing and people see we're doing, instead of just knowing I am in the body and I am connected and I am fulfilling my role. My little pancreas, is it there? Yes or no? Yes. I thought I had it right. I don't even know what it looks like. I've seen pictures, but I've never seen it. I've only seen a picture. I don't want to see it, but I want it to work. My dad's mother died from pancreatic cancer, so I talked to my pancreas. You'll not have anything go wrong with you, and you're going to work perfectly. As long as I'm alive, you're going to do everything you're supposed to do, and you're going to stay in there with nobody needing to mess with you. That sounds silly to you, but I say that because we speak over our body. I speak over the church body the same way. See, we're in it. Sometimes we have to discover what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we have to be turned on. I can't do anything but inspire you in what the Holy Spirit's given you to do. You have to decide to believe or not believe. And at the believing of faith, we become a part of his body. And we will fit more in the body of Christ, better in the body of Christ than any other place in the earth. You should feel like a misfit in most places till you come into the body of Christ. And then if you feel like a misfit, you just have to look for, what am I? How do I fit? And talk to somebody more mature than you. They can help you. If you don't know what you are, see Lucinda or me or these guys. I mean, just see somebody in leadership and they will help you discover, all right? Why? We're supposed to do that. Now, that's all background on the more excellent way. The more excellent way involves the person of the Holy Spirit. He always is out to produce heaven's standard on the earth. He always has a more excellent way. That's who he is. So we're expected then to be a part of this body of anointing. You don't get anointed as a body part to be separate and do your own thing. There's no such anointing. The anointing is upon the body of Christ to do the will of God in the earth. And if we get that much right, we get to carry that anointing into other things that we're doing. Now, why the anointing? Because it has the intelligence of God in it. But it has some other things that happen in it. We're going to look today at the Holy Spirit's investment in you. You may not know it, but the Holy Spirit has invested some things in you that the Heavenly Father will hold you accountable for when you are. We do get judged. We're not going to be judged for sin if we're born again. Jesus took that judgment. We're going to be born again for the stewardship of God's investment in our life while we're here. What did we do for him? And even if we don't know it, we have a specific assignment that he's expecting from us. So if I know I'm going to be called to account, I better know my assignment. So the Holy Spirit helps us learn what that is. I don't think another person can exactly ever interpret that for you. God wants us to love him so much that we cry out to find out, what is that? What is it I can do for you? Why did you put me here? Now, this week we're talking about the Holy Spirit's investment. Now, Ephesians 4, we're going to spend the rest of our time today looking at Ephesians 4, another letter to a church. It says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the invitation wherewith you are called. In other words, you're invited to walk in a calling. And the apostle's writing this to the church at Ephesus because he's telling them, please get with the program of what you're supposed to do in the body of Christ. The church can't be the church without people rising up to answer that call. What is it? Now, I can stand up and say the church needs this and this and this, and our people, you all are great. You tend to rally and fill the need. But sometimes if you fill the need and it wasn't your gifting, you got done with that and thought, God, please raise somebody up. I'm supposed to do this. This is really not me. And we know the difference between helping do something and somebody that has the anointing and ability and calling to do it, where they are all excited and they can't wait to tell you how fun it was for them. And you're hanging up the phone thinking, that was fun for you? Cool, I hope you do it again. See, we laugh because we know when we are not it. But more important to know when we are the one and we're to carry it. And it isn't always fun. Rather, I would say it's fulfilling. There's a knowing. God made me to be a part of this. Now, he says that we forbear one another in love. In other words, we got to love one another and be patient. He said, there's one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, and one Lord. That means we're to come together as one. Jesus has one plan, not 25 plans. He has one way he wants to express his will through a church, a concerted joint effort that everybody is a part of, but different body parts are more engaged in some pieces of ministry than other pieces of ministry. I know that one of my responsibilities is to teach as much as I possibly can while I yet have breath in me to teach. Why? That was the word of the Lord that came to me over 10 years ago. So I take advantage of that and I do that. Now, to teach, I move around and I wave my arms and I walk around, but my mouth has to be engaged with the Holy Spirit. Not my mouth with my brain. Well, you don't need to know what I think about things. You need to know what God thinks about things. That's what helps us. So what do I have to do? If I'm going to engage as a teacher, my brain is involved, but His Spirit has more to say than my mind. So I have to hear what's the Lord. The Lord wants us to talk about these things. Why? If we recognize God gives us intelligence with the Holy Spirit, if He gives us His intelligence, then He has invested some things in us and He has some expectation from that investment. So He gives us all the help that He can. Now, we're meant clearly to come together as one. So I boldly say, and I will continue to say, and I'll probably get louder the older I get, if people are not in church, a part of the local church, they are not fulfilling the body of Christ. In fact, they're pickled in a jar on a shelf somewhere, if that. Why? We have to be connected. If we're not connected as one with His body, we are not one with Jesus. I want you to see that. We're not letting Him be Lord. He's Lord when we're a part of His body. Why? He's in charge. When Jesus is Lord and He's the head, we just are automatically doing what we don't think about everything. We just learn, I'm going to live and move and have my being because Jesus is my head and I'm going to obey Him. It shouldn't be getting up on Sunday morning and kids say, Mom and Dad, are we going to church? The head is never going to change his mind about that. So what is it? Automatically, the head has sent that message and everybody ought to know if the kids are asking that question, there's something wrong between the head and the kid. So we learn very quickly when we know what God's standard is, His Spirit is the same as His standard. It's going to line up, and He moves us toward excellence. He never moves us to this halfway in between, well, God knows my heart, and I'm struggling. No, excellent Spirit is saying, you're going to do it God's way. That's what He says. Now, today that would maybe not be popular with some folks, but it's a truth, and it's truth that sets us free. Now, he goes on to say some gifts are used to govern the body of Christ. I've talked about the Holy Spirit being the person of God's government. He's the one that knows how everything is supposed to be. Why? He is a part of heaven. He has the intelligence of heaven. He has the plan of heaven. He is here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ's best interest because Jesus paid for us. He's here to tend to God's investment. He's here to look at each person and decide and determine what is it I can put in this person that Jesus is trusting them to produce. What is it I can anoint them to do? What is it I can anoint them to say? What is it I can trust them with? And He puts that in us. And then He expects us to care about it and find out about it. Yet many serve God for only the purpose of having their needs met or come to church to have their needs met, when our first desire should be, I am here to produce the kingdom. I'm here to cooperate with the intelligence of God and the investment he put in me and bring fruit out. But unto everyone, say everyone. See, unto everyone of us is given grace. I'm glad of that. That means he gives us the ability. We can't get out of not having ability. We can't say, God, I don't have the ability, because he gives it to us supernaturally. That's why, I love to say he likes to make something of what you're not, because it takes him to do it. He likes that. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Now, he gives you a gift, but I want you to understand measure. Measure is up to you to develop and grow and nurture and work the gift. Learn how it operates. The gift is the gift is the gift. The gift, God has designed to produce 100% of what he's called you to do, whatever it is. Your gifts will support what God expects from you. Then he gives you the grace according to your investment in his investment. Are you caring about what he cares about? Then that's how much grace you get, according to how much you care. According to how much you're nurturing, according to how much you are putting into it. So the grace comes as you agree to be God's steward. You want to have God's intelligence. You want to operate in God's investment. He says, as you choose to obey me, I'm going to give you grace to do the things you have committed to do, and it will increase the measure of your gift. In other words, it's going to work better. It's going to get more efficient. You're going to discover some new settings on that car you didn't know it had. First few weeks we were in Lucinda's new car. It's not brand new, but new to us. We're sitting there. I didn't know how to work those things, and I still don't know how to work half those things. Well, I need to find somebody who knows how to work those things and sit in the car and show us how to work those things, because I'm not reading the book that's that thick to figure out when I can ask, I can consult a person. If you don't want to read the book that is that thick about the will of God, consult some people rather than sit there and ignore that there's a higher function. Or not discover why something's beeping at you. Or not discover why it says settings off. Or rear view blocked. You might want to stop the car if it says rear view blocked and find out. It might be as simple as a tree leaf got stuck on the camera lens. I discovered that. I said, hallelujah, there's nothing wrong with it. There's a tree leaf. And I ripped it off there, got in there and turned on. The little thing came up and I could see to back out. Why? That's important to navigate. Well, I don't want to back into something in her car or say, who did this to my car? Her mom doesn't drive, so who would it be? Now we laugh, but in the body of Christ, thank God for the connection with people who know stuff, who operate in things that we don't, and we don't have the patience to endure the learning process of looking at the big thick book when somebody else has read it and knows what to do. Amen. Isn't it good God gave us that kind of grace? See, that's grace. Grace to say, well, I don't know what we're supposed to do. Let's say we're going to barbecue 10 hogs in Guatemala for the crusade. And that's not the word of the Lord. I'm coming for the Plenert family to help me know how to prepare and think about that. I'm not going to go to the USDA and read and then go to the Guatemalan government and read. I'm going to say, how would you do this if you were in charge? And if they tell me, I might say, would you be in charge? They knew that was coming. Now, we laugh, but don't we kind of do this already? If you take on a responsibility in the body that you're not prepared to take on, but you know it needs to be done, don't you look for who might know about this? See, God set us up to already think this way, to look for help with others. Why? He wants a cooperative effort. Why? It brings out the full anointing. It brings out the full value of what Jesus did. It helps people experience who he really is. He's in all things, above all things. He's been before all things, and he's going to follow everything up. Now, One body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord. Now, we're talking about governance here, according to the measure of the gift. In other words, according to how much you exercise and invest in the gift in you. That's the grace that you get. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive when Jesus rose from the dead, and he gave gifts unto men when he went to heaven. He distributed gifts through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are gifts that are meant to govern the body of Christ. A church that runs on committees is not a scriptural church. It's a man-run church. Now, you can have committees within the church, but they are to be governed by the ministry gifts. Why? Jesus set them in the church and he gave them that responsibility, and he'll hold them accountable for all eternity. Yes. I'll be judged at a level that most of you will not experience. Some of you are called to fivefold ministry, and you will be judged that way if you have that calling. See, I'm trying to not zero in too much. Like I just look right at Corbin's right. Why? He knows he carries a teaching gift, see? The body of Christ. So I can do that. And he didn't run out. He just kind of froze. Now, why do I say that? You need to understand there's things that you're not going to understand that somebody who is put in that position has to answer to God for. What we do as a church, I have to answer to God for. If I agree to something that Jesus isn't instructing me to do, I'll answer to him for that. Why? He has a specific thing in mind for this church to do day by day by day for him. Now, that's what we want to be in touch with. Here's what he said supposed to happen. Number one, the perfecting of the saints. Say it. I'm being made perfect. Some of you didn't believe it because you did not say it. I saw lips not move. I saw you look down. Did you know that's one reason God puts governing entities in the church? Not one, but he's chosen five fingers to express what's going to be done with the hands of the church. Five gifts. Now, I'm not going to go a whole lot into this, but he said, secondly, for the work of the ministry. What does that mean, to decide what the ministry is supposed to do? And then move in that direction. Third, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does it mean? To make sure everything is building up and not tearing down. To make sure everything is moving men toward heaven and not causing us to flounder. To make sure that we experience what Jesus had in mind, a life more and more abundant as we go. Now, here's the bottom line. To bring us together as the body of anointing. My first responsibility to you as a person called is to draw the anointing of God out of your life by steering you in the right direction. I do that primarily through a teaching gift on Sundays, particularly. Also, a foretelling gift. I don't try to tell the future. Once in a while, the Lord will tell me something about the future. But I'm a foreteller. What does that mean? It means there's a prophetic manifestation of God in me to speak out what he wants and to decree and declare some things. Why, that's the highest form of authority in my life right now. Is through that gift. So what do? I'll come and teach you, but I come to teach you with in mind, this is what the Lord wants. This is what the Lord wants. Well, I'm not as interested in what we want, because people will do that on their own. I'm interested in, Lord, what do you want? See, that's what the fivefold ministry should be, in the fear of God. Do I know what he wants from me? Not just what does he want to say, that's the teaching gift, but what does he want to do? Want to do is forthtelling, speaking forth what God wants to do. So we do it. Now, to bring us together as the body of anointing. Why? So that everything works. To challenge us to maturity and to protect us against deception. That's why you hear me say sometimes, this may not be taught a lot today. I'm giving you a clue that it's important when I say that. Because the Holy Spirit would arrest me and say, you need to speak into this because it's not happening like it's supposed to. Or you need to teach on this in a way that people can practically go, oh, I can do that. I can choose to do that. These ministry gifts have to be responsible to learn how to govern. You don't just get appointed to a position and you know what to do. the more we call on the Holy Spirit, the more we learn how to do that. I've learned from the Holy Spirit that He doesn't like to dwell on problems. He likes to present answers. He doesn't like to only focus people on their harvest. He wants them to understand they have to sow some seed. He doesn't only want teachers to get up and teach what they know. He wants to teach them some things they don't know so they can teach some things to everybody else. I mean, He's always working, looking in a way that's aggressive in His nature and what He wants to do. So we have to learn how to do these things. When someone comes to a Living Word, and let's say somebody comes in from the outside and they say, I believe I have a teaching gift. It isn't exactly my personality, it's God's personality. I will say, you've told me, show me. And then I look to see, do they know what they're doing, or can they operate at a level? Why? We want to teach a certain way. So the teachers that teach at Living Word either have their curriculum approved, or they're in close fellowship with us and we know what they're going to teach. Why? I want to be able to say whatever comes out of anybody's mouth that's a teacher here, that they're bona fide, that they're being used of God to teach what they're teaching, and we stand with them. Now, why would that be important? Because that's an important part of who we are as a church. We're teaching church. Now, similarly, if somebody comes in the midst and they say, well, I'm called to be a prophet, I'll scrutinize that. Because the scripture gives me the means to do that, tells me what to look for, whether it's real or not. And I'll usually start by saying, oh, what do you mean by that? Where's your basis in the scripture? If they can't answer those two things, they'll never be a prophet in this house. Why? Is it you just don't let people run around saying there's something. The proof is in what's coming out of their life, what's happening. Now, here's a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. He'll anoint us even before our character is fully developed so we can learn something. So we have a number of teachers coming up. They're learning. And they're learning as they go how to do things, and their character's growing and developing. Corbin, I'll pick on Corbin because we're friends enough, I can. In 10 years, he'll be way beyond where he is today. But where he is today is to be admired. And he recognizes there's room in me for God to grow me and help me become a world-class teacher, the Lord, with signs following, right? That makes it world-class. Jesus said we're to go into all the world and not just preach and teach, but to deliver and heal. So you see, that's down inside of him. Why? The gift is there. Now, the character to do all that's going to come over time. Well, he's got to invest in that gift. So if you think there's pressure on you and you're not called to fivefold ministry, you don't know what pressure is yet. I keep him under a little bit of pressure, don't I? So you're being tested. Ooh, okay. Not by God, by pastor. Now, some gifts are used to motivate the body of Christ. If you're not those fivefold ministry, don't sweat it. In fact, I would say, be relieved. Be happy. You don't seek a fivefold ministry calling. Either God speaks it and you obey Him in fear and trepidation, or don't even consider it. Why? Because He has determined what's going to work. He's determined what will work for you. He's determined how much you'll depend on Him. Scripture teaches that the fivefold ministry gifts are chosen from people who have little ability, little breeding or station in this life, little confidence in themselves, so that God can do what He wants to with them, because if they think there's something already, He can't get in there to be Himself. So think about it. If you think, well, I'm kind of like that, you might be called. Why? He says, I don't call many rich, many talented, many educated. I call those who know they're very simple-minded and will trust me. Now, that's for Jesus to tell you. What you'll find out about pastors, I might say to you, I see an indication of some things that point to a calling, but I can't call somebody. In fact, when people say, I want to go to Bible school, I kind of discourage them a little bit. Why do I do it? I'm looking for the confidence to be in them to say, I know I'm supposed to go, pastor. And then I shift gears. Why do you know you're supposed to go? well, I had a dream, or it's been in my heart, or ever since I was 10 years old, or you were standing in front of the people one Sunday and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, then I shift gears. I'm not going to, why? They've got the word of the Lord on it. But if they don't, if your kids come to me and they don't have the word of the Lord, I'm not going to try to talk them into being a preacher. No, that's not my job. See, that'd be dangerous territory. Well, 10 more minutes, I can do it. Some gifts are used to motivate the body of Christ. If you're not one of the fivefold ministry, sigh a sigh of relief, and then here's what you have in you. Even people in fivefold ministry have gifts that are meant to motivate them. People think that these gifts are first to get the church people to do what they're supposed to do. Like there's some motivators in here. I can grab this guy. I can grab that guy. I can grab that guy. I can get, depending on what I'm trying to motivate. See, depends what it is I need. I'll pull somebody and they have a gift to help us get that done. That's an anointing. Gifts have an anointing, not just the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry are like God's government. The motive gifts is how God puts something in us so that we're motivated to get kingdom work done for him. I would say believer's ministry. Everybody has some of these gifts. Now, this is what it says. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Now down to verse 15. Jesus is the head. We act in line with what he wants. That's a paraphrase, not King James. You can tell it's a paraphrase. Why? It's going to fit on one page so I can bring it to you in the right amount of time. Jesus is the head. We act in line with what he wants. As we respond to the head, Jesus is able to move through his body. Move and motivation go together. Without the motivational gifts and the church folks working, the church does not move forward in anything, or it takes forever to take a step forward. Why? God has designed body parts to work in concert, and we call that the move of God. People are praying, oh, we need a move of God. You know what scripture would answer to that? Church? There's the move of God. Get on it. Jump a little bit. Why? If I anticipate God saying, get with the program, I'd go, oh, his moving depends on me moving as part of the body. Of being connected enough, I'm supplying something to the body where God can do what he anticipates. Otherwise, I'm frustrating the Holy Spirit of God. And scripture says later in this reference, we grieve him. You are a pain in God's backside when you're not the part of his body that he's called you to be and you're not doing it. That's the way to think about it. That's what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. We cause him grief. Think of it this way. Just, he can't get us out of his mind for the wrong reasons. Because we're not cooperating as part of the body. Because he set us all in the body with gifts. And that's an indicator of what we're supposed to do. Now, Romans 12 tells us what they are. One is forthtelling. What does that mean? You're speaking forth the will and plan and purposes of God. Second is serving. That just means I'm helping get things done. It's the hospitality people. It's people helping facilitate programs. It's people getting here early to open the building and turn the lights on and change the light bulbs and set up scaffolding and run around and check all the microphones. And there's an inordinate amount of serving, but we have certain people in this congregation that carry gifts to get that done. Zach and Hannah would be one of those couples that they obviously carry. Why? I'm amazed at how much gets done. And you know what? In my role, I don't have to think about any of those things getting done because I know that they're getting done. I know that they plugged into getting those things done by connecting with Pastor Paul and Tiffany and seeing, oh, here's something that needs to be done. And it just so happened that the need that they were helping us with, they had the gifts to fill the need. And they went, ah, please tag your it. Well, there's always a please. Why? And there's always a period where we're learning. But that's an example of temporarily we meet a need because God will. What will he do? He'll bring in substitutions. Think of it this way. They were the dialysis machine for that piece of ministry until the kidneys got involved. Kidneys okay. Kidneys are wonderful. What? They help get stuff done in an unseen kind of a way. And Scripture says kidneys is the center of our having knowledge of God. Did you know that? He talks about down in there where our spirit is, close to the kidneys. So there you go. Close to the spirit. Why? God's concerned about serving. Why? If somebody's serving, somebody else gets to teach and it works. If somebody's serving, you get to come into a comfortable building. If somebody's serving, things get taken care of and stewardship is maintained and on and on and on. Second thing. Third, teaching. We're heavy laden with teachers around here, yet some of the teachers aren't teaching anything. If you have a motivational gift to teach, it's first, number one, to teach you. Not first to teach others. The ministry gift of teaching is meant for others. The motivational gift of teaching first trains you. What happens to you? You get ready to teach a Bible study and you learn more than the people coming to the Bible study because they start asking you questions and you think, I do not know the answer to this. And what do? You run to somebody probably with a teaching gift and say, can you show me where to look in the scriptures? So, and the teaching gift says, it is here. And you think, why didn't I know that? Because you don't carry that gift of ministry gift of teaching. You carry a motivational gift and you are motivated to teach, which motivates you to learn, or you can't satisfy your need to teach. And it just creates this thing of having to learn to pass on information. Motivational gifts of teaching fulfill a lot of teaching roles in the church. Most of our Sunday school entity in teaching has to do with a fulfillment that comes in receiving from God and giving that information out. When it's a motivational gift, you don't carry the same scrutiny of the Holy Spirit as if you are in an office of teaching in front of a church. So many that think they have a teaching gift in a fivefold sense, like this guy, I believe we've talked about it many times. He will be teaching other things than just at the pulpit. Why? He's going to grow and nurture and invest. He's going to invest his time in that gift. Why? He has a double layer of teaching. He's motivated because he learns. He's motivated to help others learn, but he sees in his future, God's going to use me more as a mouth the further along I go. Why? That's God's nature. So what's he do? Sometimes he doubles up on things. Forthtelling is another one where you'll likely have more than one layer of gifts. In forthtelling, you can have three manifestations of that gift. Now, I don't have time to go into that. We will another day. Teaching, then exhortation. I don't know how many of you get the email from Claire Winicky every week for weeks and weeks and weeks. Talking about church. Today she's talking about looking forward to, you know, she's exhorting you. Did you know that for exhortation to count for the most, you answer the exhortation? You don't just read it. You tell the exhorter you're receiving it. Why? It's a little different than teaching. It's just kind of like she comes in with the giant bellows and puts some air to the coals and throws some wood on there. For what's next, gets us thinking about the things of God. Gets us to change our focus from whatever's going on in our daily life, kind of like a devotion piece would do. Devotionals carry an inspiration to steer us back to considering God. And the further we get from Sunday, the more important that devotional becomes because we're so busy in everyday life, it just like kind of puts us back in the right perspective. We go, oh, I needed that. And one little verse on Friday can be worth more than the whole sermon on Sunday because we're far from Sunday and we're thinking, God, help me get my head together Saturday so I can walk in there Sunday and worship you. So that's what exhortation does and causes us to want to do right by God. Next is giving. Say, giving is a gift. Yeah, if you have the gift of giving, generosity is on your mind. If I only had more money, I would do this for the Lord. Well, that's evidence of a gift taunting you. Rather than let the gift taunt you, you need to say, God, how is it you intend for me to use these hands and this head to be able to give according to what you put in my heart? And when you engage the plan of God with the gift of God, he's going to give you what heaven's got to fulfill that. We have some folks in this church that don't know they have the gift. Why? I know they're generous. Generosity identifies that gift. What does it do? It says, God put me here to bring resources into his kingdom. My time, talent, and treasure matter to the master, and it should matter to everybody. When you have a gift, what you have working in you should matter to everybody, and you can't figure out why it doesn't. The person with the giving motivational gift is motivated. Their life is motivated to be able to do that. But it doesn't stop there. They want to motivate everybody else to do that. So if I perceive a motivational gift of giving, that's a good person to call on to receive the offering. Why? They're going to share the right kind of information. Why? They are given to that. They understand that. They are anointed of God for that. When they say it, it makes more sense. Why? Because they're caught up in that. Now, everybody's supposed to do it, but everybody doesn't. So God has specialists. If I'm going to the doctor and my foot hurts, I have to first go to the GP, my main doctor. Doc Kindred, my foot hurts. He'd probably look at it, wiggle it, and say, I'm sending you to the podiatrist, or I'm sending you to the specialist. And I'm thinking, I got to pay for another doctor. I got to come back another day. That's the way it works. In the body of Christ, everything's in-house. We're already here. So when we come together, we get all this special treatment from people who God's raised up in the body. The next is best said as protecting things like a guardian would. There's a gift to protect the ministry. There's a gift to protect the property. There's a gift to protect the mission. There's a gift to protect the pastor. There's a gift to be protective in the body of Christ of what God's trying to do for the people. There's a gift in the worship team. There's somebody gifted to protect what's happening in the worship team. Why? God protects his body because Jesus died for it and it's precious to him. And he gave his life for the church. Her, it says in the scripture. So there's this husbandly protective kind of quality that I think of as bodyguard in the body of Christ. Last, mercy. The one that is just always seeing more to do and whose heart bleeds to see people do better and get better. Who can look at a person's eyes and know something's going on there. I need to help them. I need to talk to them. Now, that's a quality of Jesus in everybody, but some folks are specialists where they just know. There are a few of those in our body. Why? Every so often, one of them will come up to me and say, Pastor, the Lord's been speaking to me about you. And it'll be a manifestation of mercy. There's something they will know that they perceived that I don't know how they perceived it because I don't try to seem to be needy. But they'll perceive it and they'll address it. Why? They just know they're right. And they know that what they say is going to make a difference. When you need somebody to let you know God's got you, isn't it good to encounter a person like that? And they usually start out by, for some reason, you've just been on my heart. And if you know they're merciful, you tell them the reason right away. If you don't know them, you listen to see, why did God put me on your heart? Why? We're looking, is the gift there? Okay, why? We trust that gift. We trust that as a manifestation of God. Now, the mature in the body, the more mature can identify those gifts. Our role as pastors is to help identify those gifts, help steer you towards your gifting. Why, you'll be the happiest. You'll be the most anointed doing what God's called you to do. Now, finally, lastly, the gifts in you are first meant to motivate you. They're first for you. They're first to help you fulfill God's plan. And Scripture says there will be no excuses. Did you know that? It says there will be no excuses. Why? The Holy Spirit with all this stuff, if Jesus is your Savior and came to live in you, His Spirit is in you. The kingdom is in you. The government of God is in you. The intelligence of God is available to you. The investment of God has been made in you. That's why He says, no excuse. You got inside information. I've given you presence and gifts and abilities to accomplish everything. There's nothing I haven't put in you that won't help you do the full plan and will of God. That's kind of scary. It means, really? It's already in there? Yeah, we have to nurture it and invest in it. I would have never expected to have a teaching gift, let alone ever get me to teach. I argued with the Lord for a long time when he said he had given me that gift and office. I said, oh, you're thinking about somebody else. And I could name people that I saw the gift in. If I had never nurtured the gift, I'll say it this way, if I hadn't agreed to pastor in the first place, I probably would have never nurtured the gift enough. I might have been a Sunday school teacher, had a Bible study, but if I hadn't started to embrace the gift, I couldn't fulfill pastoring. Pastors usually are teachers too. Now, he tells us in verse 17 and 18, don't live like the lost. After hearing all this, he's saying, don't live like the world. They're alienated from the life of God. In other words, people in the church can live like the world, not because, and I'm not thinking of sin here. He's not talking about sin. He's talking about being ignorant of gifts. If we're ignorant of God's gift and anointing and the Holy Spirit living in us, we'll be too much like the world. He's saying, you want to not be like the world and get victory? Know the anointing of God in your life. Watch him use it. The anointing will help you change the character you can't change on your own. The anointing will help you get victory that you can't get on your own. When I started to feed the teaching anointing, I found out, oh, I can enjoy this. Now I really enjoy it. 30 years ago, oh no, but I was doing it. It was a discipline then. Now, don't live like the lost who are alienated from the God kind of life through their ignorance. Living selfish lives. So he's telling us when we don't understand the gifts in us, we're selfish. So he's motivating us. You see, God's using his gifts. He's using what's in us to tag where it. Be renewed in your mind and put on the new man. And I think of it like this, like a badge. I'm putting the badge on. It makes me the marshal. I'm still me. I'm carrying a different kind of authority. I have a different role. I'm here for a different purpose. I'm here because heaven has designated that I am somebody in the kingdom of God, and I don't know how to do this job yet, but that doesn't mean I'm not it. He called me it, and he calls those things that be not as though they were. So he's telling me, I have confidence in you. You're it. I have confidence in you. You may not see it yet, but I'm calling it. Why? He knows. He knows the stuff we don't know. Put on the new man which is created in righteousness and true holiness. What happens? You put on that badge, he starts to transform you. You put on that badge of I'm going to cooperate with you, God. You say you want me to do this in the body of Christ. You've anointed me to serve. You've anointed me to help. I'm going to put on the serving badge. Or the cook's chef's hat, or the ushers carrying their plates, or the guy mowing the grass, or he didn't expect that. We put it on and we say, okay, God, this is not me. This is you working through me.
That's right.
And what happens is our authority level shifts because we've accepted God's role. You want to see your prayers answered more expeditiously? Put on the badge of what God's called you to do. Now, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. What happens? It'll steer you toward Jesus' righteousness and you'll manifest holiness. It'll make you more like him. Doing what God called you to do in the body will help you get victory over sin. Will help healing come into your body. Will keep you delivered from the stronghold of the enemy. You won't have to sing about breaking chains all the time because they can't hold you back because you're wearing the badge and nobody's going to put chains on the marshal. It don't happen. See? Now, we're responsible to get connected with his body. Each is responsible to give the Holy Spirit his return on the investment, what he has in mind. I've learned that in different seasons of my life, the Lord will require different things of me. The teaching gift is not the only thing, or pastoring is not the only thing. Those are not the first things. The first thing is he wants me to be a forth teller. And eventually some foretelling. Why? He wants people to know what's coming. Right now he mostly uses foretelling. Why? That's New Testament. What does that mean? He's speaking forth the plan, purpose of God so we can pursue it. That's why sometimes I'll get going. You think I just get excited and I'm blah, 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 get going fast. That's the prophetic mantle speaking the future of what God has. What is that? He likes to take teaching and then put a little twist on it. Say, I'm in this. He likes to excite us with it. He likes to stir us up. When that happens, I like to go back and say, what did I say? Because it wasn't me, see? It's more him. That's the difference in teaching. You're very engaged in prophecy. He's very engaged. But you're still cooperating. Well, that's a little piece of this. We're responsible. Then he ends in verse 30. And this is what to see when we don't do our part. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Like I said already, we become a pain in his body when we don't do our part. Yet today many churches are teaching, come and be fed, come and be served. Come to the service, thinking the service is for man. The service is unto the Lord. When we do that, he will always take care of our needs when we worship him. Stand to your feet. I'm going to pray and close there. We're going to continue next time with some more of the person of the Holy Spirit. He's invested in you. So, well, I wish you hadn't. You don't get to pick. See, that's what I've learned. You don't get to choose. He already made up his mind. Well, he knows what's best. Here's what's wonderful about it. We were worth investing in. We were worth him putting some heaven inside of our life. That's a quite amazing thing. He doesn't mind that it takes us a little while to know what to do with it. He just wants us to learn. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that we're hungry and thirsty here for what you have. Father, that you're preparing us for some things to come. You're energizing us as a church to not think we have to mature and arrive before you'll use us. You want to use us so we will come into maturity. You want to move us into greater joy and greater purpose and greater understanding and a fulfillment. You don't want us wandering around not knowing if we're fulfilling your will. You want us to experience the joy and the pleasure of being one with you. Lord Jesus, thank you for unifying us in a greater way as a church. We're about to diversify into new pieces of ministry and new things that are coming. Lord, you're preparing us for that. You're getting us ready that every person be fitly joined together with your body and know what it is you've called us to do so we're fulfilled, so that we have joy, so that we understand your purpose. Father, I thank you that your blessing rests upon this house and every person here. Father, thank you that we experience the fullness of your goodness. Father, thank you that families today will experience a rest and a joy because they've put you first. And Father, I thank you that you cause life to come into right order. Wherever there's chaos, I speak peace and a peace that passes all understanding to come down inside of our heart right now and say, I am in the perfect will of God and in the centerpiece of his plan. And my life is coming into perfect order and it's getting better every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.